Hey everybody, it's Adam, live and in person for you. Hey everybody, it's Adam, wonder who he'll interview.
Hey everyone, it's Call Me Adam, and on this episode of Burying It All with Call Me Adam, I am chatting with Broadway Records A&R director, Robbie Rizzell, who has become a cabaret icon since performing his show, Songs from Inside My Locker. We are going to speak with Robbie about how being bullied in high school led to this ultimate creation of the show. So don't go anywhere. Hi, Robbie.
Hi, Adam.
How are you?
Well, you just called me an icon, so I'm basically great. I'm basically perfect.
Well, you have become a cabaret icon ever since you premiered your show in 2017, Songs from Inside My Locker.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about how you came to create this show. How long did it take you to create it? And because it is based on your being bullied in high school.
Yes. So prior to 2017, I had been working with a bunch of, I like to joke that I give Sopranos jokes, like that's my job, because I write and direct for a lot of fancy ladies of cabaret. And every time I would do a show, somebody would say to me, oh, you should really do your own thing. And I was like, nobody's coming to that. And one day I got the, you should do your own thing. So I put a message up on Facebook because it was 2017 and people still use Facebook. That was like, hey, hypothetically, if I did a thing, would you all come to the thing? And an hour later, I had a date and I had a contract, but I didn't have a show. So I had to build a show. And I really hate those cabaret shows that are like, I was going to be an actress, so I moved to New York City and my boyfriend dumped me. Here's a song about my cat. Like, I hate those shows. You know what I mean? But you've seen them. We've all seen them.
Yes.
And they're dreadful. So I was trying to find something that would be like what I am, which is silly, but also like there's a bleeding heart underneath it. And what would that be? And I just thought about all the show tunes that like saved my life. And there's a narrative hook to hang a show on. And that was the show that I created, Songs from Inside My Locker.
So now growing up and going through high school. Yeah. So from my understanding, it's like you would be walking down your high school hallway singing and guys would like, or girls, I don't know who, but people would basically shove you in a locker.
All the
and
time.
So how did you, first of all, how did you get through that? How do you what songs did you find the solace in to, you know, move forward?
So I was shoved in many lockers. I personally had three lockers in high school because I had my personal one. I had a choir locker and I had the gym locker that I didn't use because I didn't go to gym class. Recommended, really.
recommended not to go.
Right. Yeah. If you're me, for other people, you know, do what you need to do. But for me, gym was not my solace. So I was often walking the hallways singing from like Little Shop of Horrors or whatever movie musical I watched the night before. And it was very loud. I will freely admit that I love to sing Chief Cook and Bottle Washer from The Rink very loudly at Johnson City High School. So I was also in like the process of coming out to myself. And then one day I saw a poster for the High School Musical to audition for it. And it was The Wizard of Oz. And I was like, oh, I've seen The Wizard of Oz. I could do that. Anybody can do that. I mean, not anybody can do that. But I was an eighth grader and got cast over a lot of seniors. So made a lot of people angry. And
what year was this? Just for
91.
Reference. Okay.
Yeah. Right. Like super pre-Ellen, super pre-Will and Grace. Like the only gay people that you saw on television were like Paul Lynde and Charles Nelson Reilly in game shows. That was, and like on Bewitched.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, and I guess the dad from the Brady Bunch, but nobody knew. So I, I decided to audition and I got The Scarecrow and The Wizard of Oz, which was crazy, but life-changing, not just because I got cast in the musical, but because I found my people and where I belong. Mm-hmm. And because I didn't have a lot of friends growing up, all I really had were the people on cast albums and the characters on cast albums. So that's what took me to create the show and celebrate those songs and those people.
And because I similar to you, I mean, I liked musical theater growing up, but I would say I was definitely more of a TV person. Mm-hmm. So like my friends were like the cast of Saved by the Bell, Beverly Hills 90210, California Dreams, you know, all of those typical school groups.
This is just a Call Me Adam list now.
This is, yes. But you know, you find your people and you gravitate towards them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, aside from the emotional injuries, did you get like, did you have physical injuries
from being
shoved in? And you know, how did you find the strength to continue to get up every day and go to school knowing what was happening?
Rehearsal. Because rehearsal was after school every day and I would need to be there for that. And that's where I could find joy. So I knew that if I could get through the, 8 hours of school, you know, 8:30 to 2:30, whatever that is, 6.5. I would be in my happy place after that, as soon as that last bell rang. So that's what kept me going every day, because for sure I would have dropped out otherwise, or I'm probably, like, let's be honest, would not be here otherwise. Mm-hmm. It was just being able to be with like-minded people who were like, what you do is good and special and important, and raised me up when I couldn't raise myself up. Mm. That's what got me there.
That's wonderful to have that support group. And did they become there for you during the day as well? Like if they were around when something was happening, did you have people to come in and help you?
Sure. There was definitely like a circle of high school senior girls who adopted me into their circle, you know, like their own, and raised me, you know, sort of like gay uncles would now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So there was definitely a bunch of them, and all of them actually, I did The Wizard of Oz with all of them, and they've seen the show, they've heard the album. And so that's just a lovely, like, thank you to them, because again, without them, I don't know where I'd be.
Right.
Yeah.
And have any of the people that bullied you, did they come see the show at all? Do you know? Or have they listened to heard the album?
I don't think they've heard the album. I know, like, I tell a story on the album of one who found me on Facebook a couple months before I debuted the show. And I didn't tell this story in the first version of the show because it happened that night that he had sent me this beautiful bouquet of flowers, with like a card that said, if anybody, you know, if I can change, anybody can, you know, go out and kick some ass.
Wow.
Yeah. Now there was a lot of misspellings because he's a Trump supporter, but you know, he needed help with something, and, I was able to give that to him and close that gap.
So you were able to find forgiveness towards him.
Yeah, I don't, there's, life is short.
Yeah.
Even if we're all quarantined, you know, we got nothing but time, of course.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. And what was it like in creating the show? What was it like now as an adult to go back through all of this hurt and anguish to create this show?
Wild. Sometimes hard to like create a narrative for the piece that wasn't too many like exposed sadnesses. was tricky, and the show really evolved. So we did it twice in 2017. We did it in the first time in like June, and then we brought it back in October by popular demand, which was insane. Because so the first time I did the show, tickets sold like crazy. They kept upping the prices to like $80, and I know I had to say to 54, I was like, guys, I just want to make sure you know my last name is not Ebersol, right? I want to mitigate expectations. Like, I'm gonna be funny, but I'm a character actress who sings. So just be aware. So I created the first version of the show, and there was like I don't remember if you saw it at the time.
I don't think I did.
There were some like visual gags, and like at one point I had hired an adult film star to come and play tuba. Look really good doing it. He's a professional tuba player, like on the side. I know, because it was funny and crazy. It, like, he and I did a tuba and kazoo duet.
Oh my God.
It was wild. There was a whole bunch of stuff that was in the show. And then as I was sort of reconceptualizing the piece for the album, by that point, I had done the show a few times and also headlined 54 for Pride, which is stupid. Lorna Luft was sick, and so I became the Pride headliner.
Oh my God.
I know. So I did. And then I was able to pull a big chunk. There's like four songs that I did in that show, and place it into Songs from Inside My Locker to create sort of the recording version of the show.
Interesting. Yeah. And which four songs were those that you pulled?
The First Penis I Saw, which is from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. The aged out medley of roles that I'm too...
Oh, that was a good one, yes.
Too effing old to play. In Hell's Kitchen, which was a song written for me. And the whole Aida story and Step Too Far. Yeah, they all got lifted. And then in the first version of show, obviously, Tomorrow, Here Comes the Sun wasn't there yet. That was written for this recording version.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. On that note, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the album. And then we're going to talk about your life at Broadway Records.
I love that.
We'll be right back with Robbie Rizal.
Oh, wait. You don't know? You haven't heard? You must not be subscribed to the Call Me Adam Digest. When you sign up for the Call Me Adam Digest, you are the first to know. You get a front row seat to my interviews and podcast episodes where you get to discover new things about your favorite celebrities. You get personal stories from the other side of the microphone that you wouldn't know by just reading, watching, or listening to my interviews. We get to have a weekly connection, and you can add some fun to your weekend. So come take a peek behind the curtain with the Call Me Adam Digest. Sign up today at callmeadam.com. Can't wait to see you there.
And now we're back.
What? It's like we never went anywhere.
It's like we never left. As if we never said goodbye.
I don't know why I'm frightened.
Now, have you had anybody reach out to you who has been bullied themselves and been like, you know, this album really helped me, or any heartfelt stories like that?
Not yet. I mean, the album just came out like 2 weeks ago. So I purposely put it out on all like streaming platforms, and it's on YouTube, the whole thing, because I know, or I hope, that like some kid's going to run across it and be like, oh my God, that's me. And know that there's a way out.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So I wanted it available everywhere for that reason.
That's a great idea. Because I'm sure it has to help somebody somewhere.
Oh, and so much of creating the show actually came from you. From doing an interview with you. Because you used to do these filmed interviews.
Yes.
And we went downtown to, was it?
It New was, York no, it was, I think Atlantic Theater Mama 2.
Yes. Theater.
Yeah,
you're correct. And it was with Jan Maxwell
and Jennifer Van Dyke,
right?
And the lost, it's now the lost interview.
but people will talk about it forever because it's liner notes.
That's right.
I just remember Jan Maxwell was like covered in dirt. Her hands were mm-hmm. so dirty because there was something with dirt in the show.
Yes.
And you asked, because you ask a lot of people, like, what advice do you have mm-hmm. for people who are coming up in the business? And this was a filmed interview.
Yes.
And I was filming. Yes. And for some reason, the sound did not take, which is now why you're in the podcast format.
Yes.
But she looked right at the camera and by proxy straight to me because my eye was at the thing. And she said, you have to create your own projects. Choose yourself and others will choose you. Mm. And that's what made me say, okay, I'm going to do the show. And that's because of you. Like, I wouldn't
that's
have been
incredible.
There for that.
Well, I'm happy to have been able to help you create this show.
A little bit of catharsis.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, you're a healer.
I try to be. That's really my goal in life is to help people heal.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. No, I'm serious about that. I really do. Like, I really do love helping people. So.
Well, it worked.
Yeah, it did. Very yeah. successfully.
Sure. Now, if I could make money from it, that'd be great.
Yes. Yeah. Well, hey, look, now that it's out there, I mean, you could become the number one downloadable album on iTunes.
I could if everybody who listens to it buys it.
Exactly. Exactly. Or the number one streamed album on Spotify. The possibilities are endless.
I would like to not be more chilled down a few pegs and be the number one. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Hamilton
and rightfully
doesn't
so.
Money, I do.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, I do want to go back one last sure. time to the to your days of being bullied.
Sure.
I just want to know what was like, is there one particular day that stands out that was just like the worst day and you were like,
I mean, they were all awful. Mm-hmm. I truly started that year because I changed school district, like I moved. And so I changed school mm-hmm. districts. And started high school in a brand new city.
Wow.
And I walked off the bus and into like the main foyer and four seniors grabbed me and rolled me into that mat that's, you know, always on the ground because of
rain. Oh my God.
And like ditched me by the dumpster.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. That's terrible.
Yes. I don't recommend it for anyone. And I know it was a different time, but I'm sure things like that still happen.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, kids especially are mean.
They are. They are. I mean, I remember all my bullies, but I remember one in particular in the gym locker room, and I'll never forget Dan Rumini. I'll never forget him. I was just like changing, and I was walking somewhere, and I was right in the middle of a metal pole, and he just like knocked the back of my head. Like knocked me on the back of my head, hit the back of my head, and my head hit into the metal pole, and I was like, "What just happened?" But he was this huge guy. I mean, I wasn't gonna like fight him because I was this scrawny sure. little kid.
Same.
But you never forget your bullies, and I've never forgotten till this day.
No, I was 120 pounds mm-hmm. of like just musical theater nerd and nothing else,
mm-hmm.
and I couldn't hide who I was. There was like no way to mask. My mask. there was no way to like not be who I was,
right?
Authentically, and so I definitely paid for it. I think maybe people pay for it less now because there's so much representation around.
Maybe. You know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah. I'd like to think that
there's a normalization.
Yeah.
As people know. More and more of their friends who are gay.
Yes.
And a lot of it, that's really what happens, right?
Yes. And we didn't have a lot of that. At least I know I didn't in high school. I mean, I knew one, well, allegedly I knew one other kid who, I mean, now I know that he is gay, but at the time it was just talk.
Whisper about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And like, because I couldn't hide it, I just had to embrace it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're glad you're here. We're glad you have this album and this show. Let's take another quick break. And then when we come back, let's talk about your life at Broadway Records because you do amazing things for them.
Yeah.
So don't go anywhere. I'll be right back with Robbie.
More ads.
Do you remember watching your favorite celebrity being interviewed, but you could tell there was more to that interview than what was being shown? My name is Adam Rothenberg, and in the past 16 years, I have interviewed over 2,200 artists and celebrities. And I am here to tell you that yes, there is definitely more to the interviews you have watched, read, or listened to. In my debut book, Behind the Curtain, The Mistakes, Lessons Learned, and Triumphs of Interviewing Celebrities, I take you behind the scenes of what really happens during an interview, sharing the joys, the pitfalls, and the OMG moments. You can get your copy on Amazon or through my entertainment platform, callmeadam.com. You can get your very own autographed copy.
That's right. And now we're back.
It's like we never left.
It is.
Twice now.
It is. I know.
You
so
a whole new world to me. It was weird.
I love it. I love opening a whole new world. And if you trust me, I could take you on a magic carpet ride.
You trust me?
I do. So you work outside of being a cabaret icon. You work at Broadway Records.
I'm a cabaret icon.
Yes.
It's weird that you left the word beloved off.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry, let me redo that. Outside of being a beloved cabaret yes. icon, you also work at Broadway Records.
Yeah.
Which your album happens to be released on.
Yeah, I'm the A&R director, so I gave myself a record.
For everybody listening, if they don't exactly know what an A&R director does, could you just break it down?
Sure.
Exactly.
So A&R means artist and repertoire, which means I build relationships with humans who are singers and help them develop their repertoire, like the stuff they're going to record. We've been moving in a direction, not just cast albums, because there's a finite amount of cast albums every year, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we've been building like solo albums for people. That's really become something I love doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I produced Jessica Vosk's album, like I had a heavy input on the material that was on it. It was all pulled from, cherry picked really, from three concerts that we had done together.
Mm-hmm.
I help people, I put people and material together that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? Because nobody wants to hear like Derek Klena sing Satisfied. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Right. That's a very weird and specific example. He's never been like, I'm doing an album, and he's never been like, I would like to sing Satisfied on it. But it's just like an extreme for
yeah.
the listener.
Yeah.
So, but there have definitely been people who have said, what if I sing like this Joni Mitchell song? And, you know, I have to stop and say, your audience is like a Broadway audience.
Mm-hmm.
And what are you giving them? You know, you have to remember who they are, because otherwise they're not listening, and then nobody's listening.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that sounds like a very fun job, and at times a very stressful job, especially if they're like, I want to sing this. And you're like you just said, yep. that's not the best.
Right.
Not option for you. Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, to find like a kind way to say, but I'm able to often go to them and say, well, maybe not that, but why don't we look at this that's similar
mm-hmm.
or in a similar vein?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. Like maybe not Joni Mitchell, but we could do something from Beautiful, which was Carole King.
Right. Or let's look at like this Next to Normal song.
Mm-hmm.
And arrange it in a different way. Like
mm-hmm.
there are so many things. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Or let's look at Another Life from Bridges of Madison County,
mm-hmm.
which is, for all intents and purposes, a Joni Mitchell song,
mm-hmm.
but it has a tie.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, how did you get involved with Broadway Records? I mean, what do you love about working on all these cast albums that they release? Yeah.
So I joined Broadway Records about 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I had done some freelance stuff for them beforehand as a graphic designer while I was the creative director of Playbill. And one day I just happened to say to Van Dien, who owns Broadway Records and is the president, that all I really wanted to do in my life was make cast albums and preserve theater music. And he called me like 6 months later. And he was like, hey, do you remember what you said to me 6 months ago? And I was like, no, I don't. I don't remember yesterday. What did I say to you? Because I say a lot of things. Mm-hmm. My mouth just opens and blah, blah, blah. You know, it's like a brain dump. And he was like, you said all you want to do is preserve theater music. And I said, yeah, that's all I want to do. And he said, well, I'd like to start you on this day. Like, he gave me a full job offer with like a salary, and these are the number of vacation days. You'll like, the whole thing was spelled out for me.
Wow.
And I was like, I didn't even think about it. I didn't come home and brood. I was like, yeah, great. Can't wait. And so I joined them 5 years ago. About, I feel like, a year later, maybe 6 months later. Mm-hmm. No, it was, Hamilton was 5 years ago, right?
I think so.
Okay. Only say that because that when the day it won the Tony was the Pulse shooting.
Oh.
Yeah. We did that single, mm-hmm. the What the World Needs Now is Love single that was everywhere. And that was a marker. Like, for me of like when I started. So mm-hmm. it was 5 years ago. We did the What the World Needs Now is Love single. And we've done these crazy cast albums. So wonderful. We won a Grammy my first year there for The Color Purple.
Wow.
Yeah. But that's not what's important. What's important is I get to preserve music that I love mm-hmm. every day. Mm-hmm. I get, you know, there's not a lot of people who wake up and go, I can't wait to go to my job. I get to say, oh my God, I can't wait to go to work. We're working on this cool album right now. You know, whatever, mm-hmm. you know, Jessica Vosk's album or things like that. Like the things that Patti LuPone. I've mm-hmm. worked with Patti LuPone twice. That's stupid. But I've done it. And it's my joy.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. not everybody gets to do that.
No, you're very lucky that you get to do what you love.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. What would you say are your top three favorite cast albums that you personally have worked on?
Oh, top three. She Loves Me. Mm-hmm. The last revival of it.
Yeah, Roundabout's revival.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
With Laura Benanti.
Yes.
The Queen. I really love the Bandstand album.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it was Overlooked.
Was that the one with Laura Osnes? Yeah. Corey, yes.
It mm-hmm. was spectacular. The recording session of it was wild because they also played. So they had to be recorded playing their stuff and then singing. But Corey's wife went into labor during it. And so he had to leave right and come back and record his stuff a different day. It was wild. And it's a beautiful album. And I really am attached to the Anastasia album. I think it's a beautiful album.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, I love.
And Once on the Island. There's so many.
Once on the Island, you said?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was a beautiful show.
Right? Come on, Alex Newell.
Yes.
How dare you?
Yes.
Yeah.
I love it. All right, we're going to take one more final break. Oh. And when we come back, we are going to do some rapid fire questions. I have my famous question, and I do want to get some advice from you. So,
great.
Yeah. So cheers to everybody. Yeah. We'll be right back with Robbie.
Hi, everybody. My name is Robbie Rozelle, and you're listening to Bearing It All with Call Me Adam.
And now we're back. All right, before we get to the rapid fire questions, I want to get some advice from you.
Sure.
So as somebody, I want two pieces of advice from you.
Ooh.
One is, as somebody who has been bullied and has lived through it, what advice would you give for other people going through it?
My advice is to stand strong in the face of opposition. Mm-hmm. That's just not bullying, but life in general. Like, there's a lot of oppressive forces these days. Don't know if you've seen the news. but if you stand strong and hold your ground, you'll make it through to the other side. Like, storms come and storms like fly over you, mm-hmm. but storms go away by nature. Mm-hmm. So just stand firm.
That's great. And my second piece of advice I want from you is, if for somebody out there listening who wants to work in Broadway, maybe they're like you, they love to preserve cast recordings and music, what advice would you have for them to break into the industry? I mean, obviously not right now during the pandemic, but
good luck
when everything comes back.
Sure. I would say look for opportunities where you can watch people in their element. I learned so much of what I do by cold writing a letter one day to a producer, like a record producer, and saying, I would love to come and watch you mm-hmm. and learn from you. And it shaped everything that I've done. Listen, I fell into this business ass backwards. I should be working at a Taco Bell, truly. But I often set crazy high goals for myself mm-hmm. and then work to achieve those goals. Mm-hmm. And so my goal was, I was hired as like the digital scanner for Playbill for $10 an hour and became the creative director. Mm-hmm. That just, you know, I worked with other people and suddenly I'm selling out 54 Below on my own name. And that's like, these are all stupid things that I'm not lucky. I worked to do, mm-hmm. you know? So like the album is another part of that. I said, I would like to do an album. And so I raised the money for it. I, you know, did the shows, mm-hmm. recorded it, mixed it, mastered it, designed it. Like, I designed the album myself, and it looks beautiful. Mm-hmm.
if you do say so yourself.
I don't like to brag, but honestly.
But it does look good.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
If you set goals for yourself, listen, you're not always going to succeed, and there's definitely things I don't succeed with. Mm-hmm. Know your strengths and work towards those. It's a lot like picking out clothes. Do you know what I mean by that?
Yes, because yeah. I know how to pick out clothes.
You really do. But like you would know what flatters you and what doesn't.
Yes,
because
exactly.
You want to accentuate what's great mm-hmm. and cover the flaws, right?
Yes.
So that's the same thing in knowing your strengths and weaknesses. Mm-hmm. So I know what I'm good at and I know what I'm not good at. Mm-hmm. And so I stay on the upstream, you know, swimming up that one stream that really works for me mm-hmm. because I know what I'm good at. Am I ever going to headline on Broadway? Probably not. Probably not. That's not a realistic goal. Mm-hmm. But I do know that I can continue to do this show and more like it forever. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. Strengths and weaknesses.
That's great. I love that. I love that viewpoint.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
That's true.
Well, now let's move on to some rapid fire questions.
I've never done these with you. I'm very excited.
I know. I'm very excited too. So first of all, peanut butter, crunchy or smooth?
Oh, I like them both. Mm-hmm. And I have very specific brands for both.
Okay. Okay. So what are those?
So I like smooth. I like the Justin's, I think it's called.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Justin's honey peanut butter. And then crunchy, I like Skippy, extra crunchy.
Mm.
So it's not in the middle. It's like either extra crunchy or really creamy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm. Favorite M&M flavor?
Oh, almond.
Mm-hmm. And favorite M&M color?
Ooh.
Blue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I love blue's my favorite also.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Favorite go-to emoji when texting?
Oh, usually it's that face with the teeth that's like, I don't know.
Oh, like this, the grin, the like,
Well, no, it's not a grin though. It's just like a nervous, like,
oh yeah, yeah.
It's mm-hmm. good.
Yeah, I know. how do you take your coffee?
Oh, I take it light and sweet.
Favorite scent or smell?
I love herbs, like especially when I'm cooking, like a rosemary or thyme a lot. Mm-hmm. I use them a lot in cocktails too, because there's something about like a sprig of thyme inside like a gin and tonic that mm-hmm. elevates it.
Interesting.
Yeah,
interesting. And then this is a question I don't really ask that often, but I need to bring it back.
Oh.
Boxers or briefs?
Oh, here's a fun one. Neither.
Oh.
Yeah, not a fan.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's all the rapid fire questions. Oh,
they're hard.
Yeah, I know.
You're good.
I like a challenge.
Guess what? Yeah. I like to climb that mountain.
Yeah, I know. Hence the Sounds of Music, climb every mountain.
The hills are alive.
They are. Very much so. All right. So now we are actually at the end of the interview already. I know, me too. But that could also mean there could be a part two at some point.
Truly.
Yes.
But we're friends too, so I could just...
Exactly. You can just text me and be like, hi.
When COVID's over, I can come visit you.
All right. Well, now it's time for my famous question.
Okay.
So playing off of the title of my podcast, Bearing It All with Call Me Adam, if you could bear it all and reveal something about yourself that you have not told previously, what would you share with me today?
I would share with you that I claim to be allergic to mushrooms and I just don't like them.
Oh my God, that is so Sex in the City when Carrie goes to that bar and she's like, I forgot what she didn't want, but she was like, I'm allergic to this. And I think she was dating Burger. He was like, you're allergic to it. And she's like, well, I just don't like it. She's like, so you're not allergic. She's like, I love that.
Yeah, it's true. I hate them so much that like even hibachi places, I'll be like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm allergic. Because I'd never want them.
Mm-hmm. I understand. I understand.
And this is why I'm going to hell, kids.
No, you're not going to hell. I mean, sometimes you have to, you know, I'm not saying you should lie, but sometimes you do have to stretch the truth a little bit.
Sure. To get what you need.
Exactly. Exactly. That's not the best advice in the world.
No. You know what? No. I gave other advice earlier. This wasn't an advice question.
You did. No, it wasn't. No, this was just, this is what you like to do.
Right.
Love it. Well, that's the whole interview. Thank you very much for coming on the show.
You're the greatest.
Thank you. Thank you. I love what I do. I know that everybody listening is going to go to iTunes and download your album, Songs from Inside My Locker, or go to Broadway Records, download the album. Yeah. Do you have hard copies of the album at Broadway Records?
Monday.
Yes. Oh, so great. Yeah. So then you can buy a hard copy of the album. You can download it. You can stream it on all the streaming platforms.
Just go to BroadwayRecords.com/DivaRobbie and it's all there.
There we go.
Diva Robbie.
I love it.
I love you.
I love you more.
Stop it.
So please keep listening and we'll see you next time.
And bye.
Bye.
He'll get the dirt and the scoop and the story, for he happens to be in the know. Just ask anybody who's had him. Adam lives for the business of show. CallMeAdam.com.
Find more episodes of Bearing It All with Call Me Adam everywhere podcasts are streamed, including iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio. Follow me on social media, Facebook or Instagram @CallMeAdamNYC. For my print and video interviews, visit my website, CallMeAdam.com.